So as we looked at the Apostles' Creed, it ends with this. And Matt, if you want to head on up. It ends with this. And we believe in the Holy Spirit. They give absolutely no... Oh, there's stairs. They give absolutely no explanation in the creed of what the Holy Spirit does. We get to that in the Nicene Creed or in the Athanasian Creed. But rather, it says the Holy Spirit and then goes instantly to the Holy Christian Church. See, we see how the Holy Spirit moves when we look at the church. Because the Holy Spirit works in us and through us. See, we believe in the forgiveness of sins, that's what we do as a church. It's continued in Acts 8. It says, hey, here's what we do in the church. And when I was thinking about it, I thought of all the things that we do as a church. One of the things is we come alongside each other. We walk together in this journey. We encourage each other. And there is not a group that I can think of that does this better, that I've been more pleased to partner with than Cross Connections. Matt's the CEO over there at Cross Connections, executive director.
Executive director.
And CEO. Promise just promoted him.
Let's not get carried away.
Can we do that?
No.
He is the admiral, at least that's what I call him. He steers the ship over there. But what I wanted to do is I know that in our culture, there's still a ton of shame attached to counseling. We're missing out on a part of what God gave us. How it used to work is people would gather around the table and you'd have elders in the village that were experts. You'd have people that had gone through this stuff before that knew how to counsel. Now, if I read the stats right, families don't even sit down together. If we're honest with that, we have tough stuff going on in our lives. Can I just say that, you know, when my dad died, I called two people. I called my pastor. Yes, I still have one. I need one. It wasn't me calling myself. I know some of you are imagining me looking in the mirror going, man, that's a good-looking pastor. Nobody else says that, just me. I called my pastor, and I called my counselor. A counselor who comes alongside me and walks with these things. As my family has had the whirlwind of this last week. When I finally left the conference I was speaking at and was driving home, after I pulled over to the side of the road because I realized all that had happened and wept, then I called my pastor, and I made an appointment with my counselor. At times in our lives, we need counseling. And I wanted to just talk to Matt about the way that, if you can just talk about what you've seen. You're not a counselor, correct?
No, I am not a counselor.
So you're looking at it as an outsider. What kind of stories have you seen where God's advanced his kingdom through the work of Cross Connections?
Man, it's every day is a blessing. I think that's the best way to put it. Without fail, whenever I'm in the community, when I visit congregations like Promise, or even when I'm speaking somewhere where I think I might not know a single person, or even having coffee sometimes, somebody will, without fail, will come up to me and say to me, man, I just want to encourage you and say thank you for what the ministry is doing. And they'll share their stories. They'll share their testimony. They'll share how the circumstances in their life had brought them to their knees. And they felt like they had nowhere else to go. And after talking with their pastor, after sharing their concerns, their frustrations, and their fears, once they were guided to Cross Connections, the change that the Holy Spirit works through the professional counselors, who are my personal heroes, honestly, they do the real work. I just get to go around, drink coffee, and talk to people. It's truly miraculous. Seeing ourselves as an extension of Pastor Graff's office within the body, Scripture is truth. And a lot of the times, the clients that come to see us have somehow lost their way with that. Not all the time, but sometimes they have, and they realize, oh, yeah, I have promise in the Bible. I have a promise. I have hope, and I need not fear. When we were singing earlier, the first words, and I lift my hands, was be still. And in Psalm 46:10, we're told, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. And that's really, I think, the key across connections. When the Holy Spirit works through the counselors, they're helping us to be still. And I think if everybody, if everyone in here was honest with themselves, they would say, I really need to be a little bit more intentional in being still and just realizing each and every day how blessed I am.
So press into that a little bit. What's that look like? Because what I found when I talk to leaders like yourself is it's easy to talk that. How's that play out in your own life?
Oh, man. Just realizing that, I mean, Cross Connections isn't a Fortune 500 company. The blessings that he supplies us with each and every day when we have a new program that we're wanting to start or we're wanting to do something new within the ministry to make us as impactful as we can be for our member congregations. And I'll have somebody just come out of the blue and say, how can we help you?
Yeah.
And I'll say, well, we're looking to start this new initiative. And they'll say, that's something I can get behind.
Yeah. One of the ones that I was most favored about, because I think it really speaks to one of the ways that Promise and Cross Connections echo each other, is the prayer room.
Oh, absolutely.
I think that's one of the biggest differences that I see at Cross Connections is the stuff we're talking about here at Promise. What's it look like to be still? What's it look like? Can you just talk about the prayer room and how you use that at Cross Connections?
Oh, absolutely. Recently, we just relocated to a new facility over off of East State Street, and we had this empty space that we weren't really doing a lot with. And so we went back and forth, how do we want to use this? How, you know, what can we do with this space? How can it best meet our needs? And I thought to myself, why don't we just have some place that the clients or the staff or even somebody that came in off the street, if they needed a little sanctuary, a place where they could just go and breathe in and out and just sit there and talk to God and let him know how much he is needed in our lives. And so we were able to, we had once again, after, you know, we made that decision, had somebody who happens to be a master woodworker and is a supporter of the ministry came by and I was showing him around and I said, and we were talking about converting this into a chapel. And he said, well, what are you thinking of doing that? And I said, well, this is what we need. Here's how we'd like to design it. He said, could I do that for you? And I said, yeah, that'd be wonderful. And so he really went all out, made a nice kneeler, drove down to Muncie and picked up an old church pew and refurbished it. And it was just a labor of love for him. And so once again, you know, God is good and he always supplies for our needs.
So right, I could open up the phone book and I could call any counselor. What makes you guys different?
Well, what makes us really special and makes us really unique is that we're an in-reach ministry of the church. We all know the need out there is great, and there's many counseling resources out there in the community, and they're, you know, they all do good work. Mm-hmm. However, our focus really is within the body itself. Just because we come here on Sunday morning does not mean that the enemy is going to leave us alone. In fact, he's probably going to redouble his efforts to try to dissuade us from the hope that we have inside as believers, and that is the promise of forgiveness that we have through Christ. And so that's really what separates us from everybody else, is that we concern ourselves more with what's going on within the church. And the enemy's trying to create a vacuum outside of the church to suck people out of the church and to get them to fall away. And so that's our focus, is to try to help you as the pastor to turn that vacuum off.
I want to ask how we can help, but first I want to, one of the things that I'm finding, and I mean, you, I don't know if we can talk about this because the number one rule of Fight Club is you don't talk about Fight Club.
What's Fight Club?
Exactly. We don't talk about that. One of the things that I found is dealing with men like yourself. You were in the Navy. You're a military guy. You're a man's man. I mean, there's no way to say it. when we're playing softball.
You know I'm married, right?
Yes. Okay, good. Not that kind of man's man.
I just wanted to make sure you didn't go somewhere else with that. That's what you get for winging it, buddy.
Wow. So how do I make an appointment? I've got some emotional issues now to work through. Right, when we're playing softball, Matt's the guy that will slide in, break his clavicle, and only take 2 weeks off and be hitting the shoulder press.
It was a week and a half.
Slacker. What do you have to say to men who, let's say, have stigmas about, man, I got some stuff to work through. My wife's told me, my boss has told me, you got to deal with this stuff. But hey, I don't deal with counseling. How's that for putting you on the spot?
Yeah, right. Well, I tell them that...
is it this touchy-feely, you're going to give me a hug and make me cry?
No, I'm not a crier either.
Yeah.
Except for when...
You
call me out of the blue. No. I tell them that it's okay to be a mess. That really... No matter what you might think about yourself, it's okay to be vulnerable. That it's okay to talk about things. It's okay to be weak, honestly. Just because each and every day, we sin. I mean, each and every second of this life, we're a sinner who's in need of a Savior. And if you think you can do that on your own, if you think you can do life not admitting that you need help, not admitting your sin, not admitting your brokenness or your fear, then you're a much tougher guy than I'll ever be. And I'll share with them, my personal story of how when I got out of the military, I was not a person that I would want to hang around with. I was I was a little bit bitter, a little angry, and just was not at a good place. And God blessed me with a wife who kind of held the mirror up for me and said, are you really happy with what you see here? Because you're not the person that you could be, the person that I know deep down inside you want to be, the godly father, husband, and leader that you want to be. And so that was like a kick in the stomach. And so I felt very convicted. And so I just hit my knees and threw it up to him in prayer and said, I can't do this without you. And so he surrounded me with some godly men, and they helped me realize that you got to let go of some things. And number one, the number one thing you got to let go of really is your pride.
So here's the deal. If any of you are going, man, I just need somebody to come alongside me, just talk to myself. We'll get you referred over to Cross Connection. It's a great ministry. It's a way that God extends the church. And I wanted to, so some of us are in that place where we need to receive. Some of us in that place where we're going, man, I'm at a place where I want to give. How can we help support Cross Connection?
Well, I think the number one thing that you can do, honestly, is pray. Really pray.
Now, hold on, I want to pause, because that's what everybody says, right?
Well, yeah.
What's that look like? How can we be praying for you? What are the biggest things we need to be lifting up on your behalf?
Well, I think the number one thing is awareness of the ministry, just because people don't realize, I think, just really how powerful God is. And the things that he does through the counseling staff and what the Holy Spirit is able to accomplish. So if you know anybody that is a member of this church or who isn't churched at all, have them get a hold of us. I haven't had a single pastor in our 67-member churches that have said, I'm not willing to meet with somebody who's curious about biblical counseling. So that is what we're here for. We're here to help not only people within the church, but also help you do outreach. So I think raising public awareness and letting people realize there is this agency that just loves on people. Yeah. that takes him to the foot of the cross and helps him.
And can you talk just a little bit about how would I want to get involved in the, like, if I wanted to actually do this, come alongside and be on the counseling side, is there any opportunity for that?
Yeah, absolutely. Our statement of faith is on our website, mm-hmm. and it's very, very LCMS, mm-hmm. but we are an interdenominational ministry. Anybody who signs off on that statement of faith, it's what we confess together as part of the body of Christ. Any mental health professional who is willing to sign that statement of faith and is willing to partner alongside us, we're more than willing to work with them.
And what if I'm not a mental health professional? Like, could one of these people who's been through some stuff that wants to come alongside, like, is there anything like a covenant partner or anything they can do?
What's a covenant? Yes, there is. We have a lay counseling side called Covenant Partners that is people like you and me who don't necessarily have a lot of mental health training but might want to help offer guidance to our brothers and sisters in the church, very much like Stephen Ministry. And in fact, the majority of our covenant partner work that we do has to do with premarital and marital counseling. People who have been married that for a while, who have been through the ups and downs, the highs and lows, who have kept Christ at the center of their marriage and can model that and talk with young couples or couples that are hurting or need redirection on what does it mean to really serve my spouse.
Awesome. If we can just give it up for Matt for joining us here today. Thank you.
Thank you.
As we move into this time, I want to... This is a weird sermon, right? It's always weird when we do stuff like this because it, deep down inside, it kind of feels like, wow, that wasn't a sermon. It was an advertisement. It was showing you something else that's out there. But here's what I'm learning. The church is so much bigger than just what we do for an hour here on Sunday morning. That God wants to heal you in so many more ways, through so many more people that he's equipped. And if you're on that side of the equation, we're going, hey, I need some help. I need more than just another 22-minute sermon. I want you to know that that's out there. But there's also people sitting right here that are going, wow, God has filled me up so much to overflowing that I am wanting to give back. And I wanted you to know that they're out there. There's another way that you can extend the kingdom of God. I'm gonna pray for Cross Connections right now and pray for you, whatever God's stirring in your heart. God, we thank you for the ministry of Cross Connections. God, we thank you for the healing that it's bringing to so many, that you're advancing your kingdom through us. God, that doesn't make sense all the time. It doesn't make sense why you'd choose us, why you'd love us, why you'd take us exactly where you are. But God, you didn't just do that. You entered into our brokenness and dwelt among us. God, thank you for that. Thank you for your mercy, and thank you for your grace, and thank you for the so many ways you serve us. It's in your holy name that we pray. Amen.